Now, today we are going to talk about something that everybody thinks about all the time, which is money. Money seems to disappear from us even more so with the dreadful Labour government that we've got in. Not that the Conservatives were much better for the last 14 years prior to that in the UK, and where if you're listening in other countries as well, I'm sure you have the same problem with your governments. They seem to take money off us all the time and money loses its value. So what can we do? Well, I have a fantastic guest on the show today who is an affiliate with me, and you may see on Right Think TV, I have the adverts there for Gold Bullion Partners. And from that fantastic company today, I have Nick Ward, who works for them. Oh, actually set the company up, and I'm going to bring him into the studio. He's in the studio already. And so he's here to talk about the economy, finance, money, and gold. So welcome, Nick.
Oh, thanks very much, David. No, pleasure to be on the show. Thanks very much for having me. Where do we start?
There's so much going on with the economy in general. I mean, I think we all have an idea of what a good economy is, where the government just leaves us alone. Things are good. Businesses can just get on and do what they want to do. We can earn money and we're not taxed too much, and money keeps its value. But that's not what we've got at the moment. Well, what's going on with the economy these days, do you think?
They're attacking us from every angle, really, David. But we're in freefall. The economy is now officially contracting, although we've known that for a very long time. I think, look, on average, we're now 40% poorer per person than the United States.
Wow.
So growth stagnated, inflation starting to rise again, business confidence is absolutely plummeting. Mm. And all you've got to do is just look at the base of it all and the foundations. If you look at our national debt, David, including future liabilities, it's now sitting at £12 trillion.
Wow.
So that's about 430% roughly of our GDP, what we produce every year. And if you want to drill down even further, that's about £180,000 for each of us. So we've never ever had this much debt ever in the history of the country, or the history of the world, actually, for that matter. We're in a debt bubble. But one thing I really wanted to cover here, which I think is so significant and it isn't being covered by the mainstream media, is the interest rates that the government actually have to pay on that debt when they're borrowing it. And it's just so important for people to understand. Because, look, the interest rates have been gradually increasing since Labour came into power over the last 5 or 6 months. But in the last fortnight, they've gone up aggressively, like very, very aggressively. So much so that it's the highest interest rate we've seen on our debt since 1988, which was, of course, pre-crash levels. So, yeah, to say we're facing a huge problems, well, it's a bit of an understatement, really. I mean, the 30-year gilt is now sitting at over 5%. And usually the rule of thumb was 4% is really, really dangerous. So the rate in which we're borrowing was usually 4% you could get away with. It's now sitting at 5%. So the interest cost that we pay on our debt is higher in percentage terms than the inflation rate plus our economic growth.
Yeah. I did an interview with someone else just a few weeks ago, and I was looking into all the figures of what the government spends, and it apparently this year, or the last fiscal year, they actually spent about £90 billion just servicing the debt. They wasn't paying it back, but that was just interest on the debt. But that must be even more now.
Yeah, we're spending more on the debt than we are on key services. The most key services, we're actually spending more servicing our debt. So this is actually, you're right. It's raising huge questions about whether the government is going to be able to fund itself in the future, because mathematically, obviously, it can't. So if rates keep going up as they are, lenders are going to want higher and higher rates, obviously, in order to continue funding us. So that's when you get into something called a debt spiral. It just gets worse and worse and worse. A lot of economists like Ray Dalio are calling it a death spiral. There's no way in which you can get out of it without default. So the only thing they can try and do at the moment, and this relates to your introduction really, is to try and increase taxes even further, which is going to cause more people to leave, or they can introduce cuts, which ideologically we know they're never going to do. So look, when Sunak was in power, we were already facing the highest taxes since World War II. And that was even before Reeves brought this new budget out. So basically, we're seeing a wealth flight from the country. Most people are upping sticks and leaving. I mean, in the last year alone, I think it's 10,800 millionaires that have just completely left, David.
So these are people who create wealth, who have businesses, who provide jobs for people, you know, who want to work, and they're just leaving. So that means that they're not creating any wealth, and they're not actually paying the taxes that they would have paid because they're going off to live in Dubai and places like that. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah, 78 centimillionaires. So that's basically people that have got 100 million in cash that they can invest in the economy. 12 billionaires. All gone. So look, it's clear the government are out for blood, David. For anybody that's successful or has made something of themselves, they want to drag you down. It's just the politics of envy. They're letting partisan politics get in the way of just prudent fiscal economic policy. Yeah. So instead of trying to promote growth, they're just making the environment more and more hostile with this complete obsession with tax, as if we can tax our way out of this debt, which we can't mathematically. Even if they taxed us all at 100%, we still wouldn't have enough money to pay off those interest rate repayments, let alone eat into the principal.
Well, this is the Laffer curve, isn't it? If you tax people at 100%, no one's going to bother to work. There's no point.
Exactly. It completely disincentivizes everybody.
They've already increased tax on businesses through employers' national insurance, haven't they? Which is going to hammer businesses, because every employer and every employee that a business has, they're now going to have to pay about an extra £1,000 per year in employers' national insurance. So businesses are just saying, well, we can't hire any new people, we can't give people a pay rise, and we may even have to fire some people. So all of this stuff is really counterproductive to ordinary people.
It's so counterintuitive, David. Absolutely. You'd think from a Labour government, they wouldn't try and put off employment. Well, at least in the traditional sense, they wouldn't try and do that. But obviously, this is all part of a larger plan. They really don't care about any of us. I mean, all the while this is happening, the Chancellor, as we speak, is currently in Davos in Switzerland, rubbing shoulders with the global elite, as the media call them. And it just shows how completely out of touch they are with normal Brits, normal businesses. And all they're interested in is feathering their own nest, colluding with big business, and solidifying their positions with the WEF, because, of course, when they're thrown out of office, they can just go and get themselves a cushy job there. So,
they don't care, do they? They don't care about the country. They don't care about ordinary people, like you say. Like Keir Starmer, he says he's more comfortable in Davos than he is in Westminster. He likes it more there with those people. But the thing is, Nick, where does that leave us, like ordinary people who just have an ordinary job or even a small business? What's going to happen to us?
Well, look, I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole, David, but the government are intentionally trying to wipe out the middle classes and asset strip everybody to such an extent that, I mean, many are saying they're trying to introduce a universal basic income whereby they have complete control of absolutely everybody. So everybody is dependent on the state to hand them that. And of course, when there's a crisis and everybody loses everything, the bond market collapses, the banks collapse, people can't get their cash out. Of course, they're going to look to the government as some form of messiah. Oh, they're here to save me. Oh, I'll happily accept my universal basic income. But of course, that comes at the price of your freedom.
We certainly don't want that, do we? Because that will be linked to some kind of social credit score and climate score, where you're only allowed to spend the little tokens that they give to you on your smartphone app on, you know, pretzels or something. You're not allowed to buy meat. You're not allowed to buy fuel. You're not allowed to buy petrol. You're not allowed to go on an aeroplane.
Yeah.
You can only buy really basic, you know, stuff like it was in the communist times.
Exactly.
In Eastern Europe.
Exactly. It's all linked to your smart meter as well, which a lot of people don't realize. That's why there's such a push for this, so they can restrict how much energy you're using. So basically, people are looking for that independence, really. How do you get out the system? You need that ability to stand back, not panic and worry, and be able to refuse whatever type of control mechanism they're going to try and introduce. And they will use any form of emergency to try and implement that. We know what they're going to do. It's written in black and white. So you've got to decentralize. You've got to go analog, get out the system, get your money out the bank, and don't allow them to have control over it. And this is obviously where gold comes in, because it's nobody else's liability. It's private. It's tax-free. It's out the system. I mean, it's physical cash, David. And of course, they can't inflate it away through the back door in some nefarious form of tax, which is obviously what they're also trying to do. And a lot of people don't realize that if you just leave money in the bank, not only is it not safe with what we've been seeing over the last 6 to 12 months, even if you do leave it there and you get a measly 4 or 5% interest, that's not keeping up with inflation at all, not in real terms anyway. And this is just another way in which the government try and pay their debt off by devaluing the currency and inflating it away at the same time. So you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. And that's why
they tell us save money, put it in the bank, and you know, you'll get a little bit of interest, and that's good because you're doing the right thing, and then your money will grow. But actually, this just seems to be a lie, because if you leave your money in the bank, it doesn't grow. And that's the key thing you mentioned. I realized a while ago is that you get interest of, you know, 2 or 3%. It's paltry these days, but inflation is 4, 5, 6%. And real, you know, that's what they tell us in the figures that come from the ONS and the government. But actually, real inflation is much, much higher. So your purchasing power is going down all the time.
Yep. Absolutely. Look, if you kind of go back to how the RPI, the CPI was calculated in the 1980s, it actually puts inflation closer to 18 or 20%.
Wow.
But of course, that's not factoring in the cost of government into inflation as well, because look, you might get 4 or 5% in the bank, but unless it's in an ISA, the government are going to come across and take 40% of that from you as well in income tax. And every major bank now is connected up to HMRC as well.
Right.
So it really is a con. It used to be the conservative thing to do, and a lot of people are still stuck in that mainstream mindset. The banks are going to be fine. Well, no, they're not. Look, last year they carried out a simulation, David, called Cymex. And look, that again, it went under the radar with most of the mainstream media, but they stress tested a lot of the banks, and we didn't really get a full view of the results of it. But number one, why are they carrying out these stress tests? But if you actually look at the terms and conditions of most of the high street banks now, they've all changed those T's and C's to accommodate for bail-ins, not bailouts. So naively, I think a lot of people think, I'm covered for that 85,000 deposit protection limit, but you're not. That money in the bank isn't legally, you are not the owner. You've got a right to it, but you're not the owner of it. The bank is. And if they get into trouble, they can just indiscriminately, just like you said, David, in Cyprus, they can indiscriminately shut those bank accounts down and take your funds.
Wow. I mean, I've mentioned this before, and I think this is something people are slowly waking up to, but it hasn't really happened here in the UK yet. You know, it did happen in Cyprus, I know, and that was dreadful for the people who lost their money there. I think there were a few banks that went bust in the USA recently, weren't there, in 2023. It was Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank and so on. People lost a lot of money there. Yeah. Is it possible that that could happen here in the UK?
Absolutely, yeah. There could be a spillover. I mean, all of the banks are connected internationally. I mean, they're all borrowing from one another. It's like a domino effect. As soon as one of them goes under, it has a spillover effect to all the others. And actually, wow. When Silicon Valley went under, David, there are reports here suggesting that one in four UK banks were even at danger are facing collapse from a run, because if everybody tried to withdraw their funds out the bank at the same time, the whole house of cards would come collapsing down. So they're always teetering on a knife edge. They're always lending out people's money 100 times over, but only keeping one pound in the bank for everything that they lend out, because they're always chasing yield and yield and yield and yield, hence why they're giving us such paltry sums in the bank. But what you've really got to look at is what the central banks are doing in the world. So China, India, Russia, Japan, Saudi Arabia. Well, they want to get rid of the US dollar, and they're actually hoarding gold itself. They know that this system's up. They know that cash is trash. Ultimately, this bubble's going to pop, and it's a race to the bottom. Hence why they bought more gold than we've seen in 50 years. I mean, they're accumulating it at a rate of knots we've never seen.
Wow, yeah, you hear about some of the leaders in the BRICS bloc, like President Putin, and he talks about a multipolar world and de-dollarization. That's exactly what you're saying, isn't it?
Exactly, exactly.
I was just looking at gold and the price of it and why they might be doing that. I mean, here in the UK, it's at a record high now, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's over £2,000 an ounce, whereas in 1925, that was 100 years ago, it was only £4.25 an ounce. And that seems, inconceivable now.
Yeah, well, and that's because it's not actually the value of gold rising. It's the value of fiat currency going to nothing, depreciating. Mm. So when people say, oh gosh, the gold price is at an all-time high, well, it's actually not doing anything special, David. It's just doing what it should be doing, which is keeping ahead of inflation. It's really done nothing special at all. And if you just go back to the 1970s, actually, which was the last time we saw this level of inflation and war and everything else, I mean, economic conditions are so reminiscent of what they were back then. The gold price went up 1,000% in 9 years.
Gosh. Wow.
So it's not necessarily, it's not so much the gold price going up. It's the fact that your cash is just inflating away to nothing.
So it's a store of value then, a store of wealth, which I think in the current conditions, it sounds like it's very, very good to have some gold, because we just, it looks bad, doesn't it? The Western economies, fiat currencies, they've come off the gold standard, so there's no link to gold anymore.
Yeah.
So, why should somebody have gold? Do you think people should get some gold, and how much do you think?
Yeah, oh God, that's a difficult question. I mean, the old adage always used to be just 10% in the hope that you'd never use it, or you'd hope it doesn't go up, because that means that the rest of your portfolio is collapsing, David. But now we're living through economic case history. We've never, ever seen an environment like this before where debt is just so high. So what else is going to protect you? I mean, the bond market is not yielding anything. You can't leave your money in the bank because it's not safe. It's losing place to inflation. The equity market's looking very, very precarious. You can't put it into property because of all the regulation and the wealth taxes. And I mean, they really don't want any second homeowners in this country at all. Then you've got stamp duty on it and all the effort you've got to put in there. So where else can you put it? And it always leads back to gold. You're right. It's not a speculative investment. It's just a long-term store of wealth in order to give you that insurance policy and make sure that you can ride out this turmoil that's coming and not have to worry. That's all it's about. No one's doing it to become a millionaire overnight or get rich quick. It's just preserving what you're lucky enough to have, but doing it in a tax-efficient manner. Because, of course, as a UK resident, you qualify and benefit for that tax-efficient gold. You can buy bullion coins. There's a caveat of British law, which means you can't tax the flow of currency. So all the gains that you make, you're devoid of capital gains tax. Which is obviously so beneficial in this day and age when they're taxing everything else to the hilt.
They're trying to put tax on everything, aren't they? And reduce the thresholds.
I think they'll try and tax the air at this point, David, with what's going on. If they could.
I'm not going to pay.
So, yes, I don't think people are left really with any other alternative. If you just sit on it for the next 10, 20 years, I can imagine it's going to outperform every other asset. Yes, there are certain cryptocurrencies that people can try and chase, but your chances of losing everything are certainly a lot higher than they are of hitting the jackpot there. Of course, they're not private either.
The cryptocurrencies, the very first one was only invented 20 years ago or something, but gold has been around for thousands of years, hasn't it? It's the wisdom of ancients. You know, they used gold as money, and everybody all through history has used gold. So obviously it's got a very, very good track record for being a store of wealth.
It is. It's nature's natural money, David. The amount of gold that's extracted out the Earth's crust actually goes up in direct proportion with population growth.
Okay.
It's fascinating. Nobody knows it, but it really is nature's money. I mean, an ounce of gold 2,500 years ago would buy a Roman or a Greek senator a toga and sandals. In this day and age, it will buy you an Armani suit. It's...
Wow.
It will always retain its power. Its purchasing power.
Yeah.
No matter how long you look.
Well, that just shows it, doesn't it? And if you, like, as you say, the central banks of Russia, China, India, all these countries with big, big populations, over half the world's population, the countries are buying gold at record rate. They know something is up, don't they? So it sounds like it's a good time to get it if you haven't got it already.
They've explicitly said they're going back to a gold standard, David. They met in Kazan in October, end of October, I think, last year. And they were all coming together to see how they could de-dollarize and get away from the West. And we're just sleepwalking into this in the West. I mean, less than 0.4% of the UK population even own gold or even know that you can own it. Wow. They've got no idea. You look over in China, over 50% of the population have got a stash of gold. So we really need to take a lesson from the East and follow suit with what they're doing. Because if you look at the amount of gold in the West, it's slowly depleting every single year, and it's all going over to the East.
Well, that really is leaving us, you know, in economic danger, let's put it like that. I mean, there's a huge amount of propaganda against it, isn't there? I mean, you look at some newspapers and they say, oh, it's a barbarous relic, which, you know, this is almost a smear phrase against the metal, you know, which doesn't make any sense. But I don't think it is at all. I mean, what would you say to those people that try to discourage you from getting gold and say, oh, keep your money in the bank or buy these shares, you know, what do you say to them?
David, that is the mainstream. That's like watching BBC News or ITV now. That is just mainstream financial advice that the mainstream media will propagate. It's nonsense. It's modern monetary theory, if you want to really look into it, and Keynesian economics, whereas obviously gold fits more in line with Austrian economics. But Keynesian economics basically allows you to create fiat money out of thin air. And the only reason it has any value whatsoever is because the government says it does by decree. That's what fiat means. It means power by government decree, if you like. So if they can just print it out of thin air, there really is no need for them to tax us. The only reason they're taxing us is just to keep us in line, keep us in position and prevent us from having too much power to challenge their authority. It's pulling the ladder up, essentially. Whereas when we were on a gold standard in history, it's always been some of the most prosperous times in invention and human history. Yet fiat currency enables all of this degenerate spending and silly social meddling. I mean, you've got, 5 billion for this and 100 million for this and...
Well, you look at the government in the UK and in other places as well, and you think at least half of what you're spending is just complete rubbish. It's just junk, and you wouldn't be able to do that if you were a private company. If you were a business that had to make a profit to survive, you just simply wouldn't be able to do what you're doing.
You wouldn't. You'd go bust. But the fiat currency, modern monetary theory, allows the government to go spending on all these silly schemes and policies and not actually face any recourse for it, because they can just print more. And ultimately, all that does is just devalue your savings that are sat in the bank. So they're effectively just stealing your money out the bank. It's just you can't see it in the form of direct taxation. Yeah.
So it is destructive in, you know, numerous ways, the economic system we've got now. I'm learning from you just as I'm talking to you. And I think, you know, that's a very, very good reason to go back on a gold standard. But the propaganda is against that, because people say, oh, well, we wouldn't be able to spend this, we wouldn't be able to spend that as a government. But that's actually a good thing.
That's the point. Yes. Please stop spending. We don't want anything else spent. They've just got an obsession with it. They cannot stop, David. Ideologically, they can't.
Well, Labour are obviously, you know, pretty much communist, you know, without being all the way there. Then, you know, that's their economic policies at the moment. But what I call the fake Conservatives are not much better. They you know, increase the national debt, you know, by three times, you know, when they were in power for 14 years. So you're not going to get any responsibility from any of the parties that are there.
None of them. They're all part of the same cabal. Mm. They're two masks to the same face. They're all WEF acolytes. Mm. All they care about is doing the bidding of the WEF, and they do not give a damn about us or the population. None of them.
Right. But we need to take control of our own financial life and destiny. Exactly. They're not going to help us. They don't care about us in the government. They're not going to help us. It looks like they're actively trying to destroy what's left of the economy and freedom. Yeah. But we can maybe do something for ourselves if we want to, can we?
A lot of people will say, is this due to malice or negligence? You've got that old adage, David. And it's certainly not negligence anymore. Mm. There is no way anybody can be this incompetent. It's all driven by a pure nihilism and hatred for the general population. It really is. And it's not just buying gold to get out the system financially. It's taking yourself off grid. It's having books instead of continuously scrolling through your phone, not having your smart meter, getting out to the countryside, forming your own community of people. There's so many facets to this. The financial aspect is only just a tiny bit of it. But it all goes hand in hand, because ultimately they want to reduce the population and they want control over everybody.
It's a horrible vision, isn't it, that these people, it is evil. And I don't think everybody who is in it working towards it is evil. I think there are some useful idiots.
There are. Yeah,
you know, who genuinely think that there's a climate emergency, even though there's not. So we do all of these really ridiculous things as a country to actually blow up our power stations, and so that we're not going to have any energy in the future, or not nearly enough for everybody who's around. But there are people making money out of it. There are people who get power out of it. But I think there are some people who really are evil. Like you say, they've got this depopulation agenda. But I say to them, well, why don't you start with yourself? You know,
absolutely. Like in the last 2 days, the amount of jets that have flown into Davos, they were they all preach climate change from their ivory towers, sitting in their echo chambers. Well, why don't they try taking the Channel Tunnel over there themselves and on a bus? I think that would be a lot more environmentally friendly, wouldn't it? But of course, it's one law for me and one law for thee. We're living in a topsy-turvy world.
It is just bizarre. And you know, I've been actively involved in politics for 12 years, something like that. But you know, things were going a little bit crazy then with political correctness and so on. But you know, even then I couldn't have imagined half the things that have happened now and what's going on now. It's just, it's insanity. But it's not just insanity, it is malevolent as well.
It is malevolent. And this they're only allowed to carry on with this agenda and all this profligate spending on climate emergencies and everything else because we aren't on a hard money standard, which limits the amount of money you can spend on silly things like this. Because of course, if you're a private business, you go bust immediately. But the reason they want this monetary system in place is because it enables them to socially engineer us a lot easier. Exactly.
And they could then stamp out any dissent, couldn't they, with your completely dependent. on their system and their, you know, they give you everything, you're dependent on them. So then you can't be at the center. It's a dreadful thing. But, you know, we're both taking action. I really like talking to you, Nick, because I'm acting in politics, you're acting in finance. And, you know, people who work in the financial industry often get a very bad rap, but you're actually doing really good stuff. And you're making people aware of, you know, a different way and how they can actually protect themselves in the long term. So it's fantastic what you're doing.
And you, David. Thank you.
Yeah. thanks, Nick. How can people find out more about you and Gold Bullion Partners?
By all means, you can click on the link on the video, David, where you'll come straight through to me, or just visit our website, just www.goldbullionpartners.co.uk. You'll find us on Google, and feel free to give us a call, and I'll sit down with anybody and discuss what their needs are, where we might be able to help them. And we can either deliver the gold to them, or they can store it with us if they don't feel comfortable having it at home.
Fantastic. So people can buy gold from you, VAT free, capital gains tax free.
Yes, and most importantly, and privately. Yeah.
Yes. Marvelous. Mm-hmm. So look, I will, for everyone watching the video, I'll put the link to get to your website and your guides to buying gold in the boxes underneath the video. And if you are looking on my website for rightthink.tv, then there's a link to Gold Bullion Partners at the top. So just click on there and it will take you right through to the website and the guide, and has all your contact details in it as well. So. Fantastic.
Pleasure.
Nick, it's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Absolutely, David. Lovely speaking, and I look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Great. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, David.